We are in the midst of the Atlanta Cycling Festival, a week full of events encouraging people to ride their bikes. Now, local architect Michael Kahn joins us to talk about some of the infrastructure that might get more people cycling. But he's not going to talk about bike lanes. Instead, he explains how architects and developers can design buildings with cyclists in mind. Here he is with Stephanie Stokes.
Growing up in the Atlanta suburbs, I had a bike like most kids, and my brother and I would ride around the yard and the driveway just purely for recreation. It was something fun to do. But I lived in New Orleans for 5 years. It was an obligingly flat city and an obligingly small city, so you could bike and really accomplish errands and tasks via bicycle. And so that's where I kind of gained this knowledge of the fact that biking for daily living or incorporating biking into your daily tasks is really an option. And buildings can either encourage or greatly discourage the use of bikes.
As you've been working in Atlanta as an architect, how do you see buildings discouraging cyclists?
It's important to note that it is not just an Atlanta issue. It is a much larger issue. Some cities do tackle it better than others. But in many ways, current buildings in the city don't provide adequate bike parking or storage facilities. Very few buildings in the city to this point offer what's called end-of-trip facilities. So a locker room to store gear, a place to shower, or a place to just change from biking to where you were going. And so right off the bat, that makes it very difficult on cyclists to bike and go about their daily lives without the infrastructure in place to support that lifestyle.
So for an architect or a developer, is that something you take into account from the beginning of the design process?
New buildings that are going up really reflect this change of culture. If you go to any of the new apartment buildings on the Beltline, there is usually ample bike storage for cyclists because there is a recognition that people are living on the Beltline to have a certain kind of active lifestyle. And so architects and developers shape the entire direction and the entire kind of inclusionary aspect of designing for bicycles. Where it comes down to really questioning whether a developer is going to include something like that or not, it really comes down to economics. If it's something that clients, building users, are going to demand in the building, then it's going to be included. And if developers don't feel that they can get a return on their investment for supplying these bike facilities, then you're not going to see it. And so increasingly, the cycling community has become more vocal, and we see it in the public infrastructure. We're gaining bike lanes in the city. We're gaining public parking and bike racks in the city. But that hasn't quite yet trickled down to private development yet. But people can kind of vote with their wallets and choose to live in or choose workspace in, to some degree, buildings that do have the facilities to accommodate cyclists.
What are some of the innovative things that designers in other cities are doing?
So Atlanta, in many ways, is really behind the cusp. You have a lot of international cities that really encourage biking infrastructure that are, you know, a decade or so ahead of Atlanta. And so in cities like Sydney or London or New York, to an extent, there are many offices that do feature end-of-trip facilities. And the LEED program by the U.S. Green Building Council that rewards people for sustainable design includes a small component for biking infrastructure, providing, you know, facilities for cyclists. But it hasn't really made its way into codes yet, especially in cities like Atlanta. And so what Atlanta can do is begin to evaluate their codes and zoning and identify, okay, buildings in this area that are adjacent to transit or adjacent to bike paths should have XYZ infrastructure in place to allow for cyclists to use the facilities. And there can be economic incentives actually for developers to do that, because on average, a parking space, single parking space in Atlanta costs a little over $16,000 to construct in a new development. And a standard size parking space can fit 10 bike parking spaces. So if you're able to eliminate 20 parking spaces by providing the space in two parking spaces for 20 bicycles, you're able to funnel that money, over $200,000, into providing end-of-trip facilities and other things necessary to provide for cyclists. And it's likely not going to cost $200,000 to accommodate that. And therefore, not only has the developer saved space and been able to make the building more efficient and get more rentable space out of their footprint instead of devoting it to parking, which is often not an economic generator, to save themselves money and provide for cyclists and make the building more bike friendly.
So is this something that can really get architects excited? Because it seems so practical. It's not something you can make beautiful necessarily. So is this something that you find people in the architecture community really talking about?
On the contrary, I think that the only limits to architecture really, besides cost and gravity, is creativity. And so you see in a lot of instances, these really kind of fanciful ideas that, again, encourage biking. And so that's to say that providing the infrastructure is important in a new building. That's step one. But to encourage people to utilize that infrastructure, to encourage people to get on bikes and make people recognize that that's an option in that building, use this unique opportunity as something to drive the aesthetics of the project. Park the bikes in a big glass box or do something unique. There have been proposals to ramp a bike trail up a skyscraper so you can bike to your floor. The options are limitless. Whether they're economically feasible or even practical is another question. But there are a lot of options. And by creating these off-the-wall instances and by making biking visible and unique, it encourages more people to then utilize that infrastructure and validates the developers putting in the extra money to make that happen, and then encourages it further down the road and shows other developers that it is a productive way to have a building designed.
That was Michael Kam, an architect with Rosser International and editor at Curbed Atlanta. He was speaking with WABE's Stephanie Stokes.